Welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress. The people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, the 20th anniversary of WordPress. Today is a bit of a departure for the podcast. It's the second of two episodes all about the last 20 years of WordPress. You're going to hear a roundtable discussion with four WordPressers talking about their thoughts on the last 20 years. It features Maher Bala, Robert Windich, Simon Kraft, Tammy Lister, and David Bissett as the discussion moderator. They cover a lot of ground, and it's fascinating to hear their WordPress stories from the past two decades. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find all of the links in the show notes by heading over to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all the other episodes as well. And so, without further delay, I bring you David Bissett, Maher Bala, Robert Windich, Simon Kraft, and Tammy Lister.
We have so much to talk about. We have 20 years of WordPress we got to condense in the next 60 or so minutes. If for those listening, or heaven forbid, if we can use AI to clean up my face, we will be putting this on YouTube maybe, hopefully, soon. For video, perhaps. We'll have to figure that out. I only promise these people audio broadcasts, so I have to see if I have to have them sign another contract. My name is David Bissett. I have been talking to people on the 20th anniversary of WordPress, and I've been asking them a bunch of different questions. And today, we have four more interesting people from the WordPress community and me to talk about some particular and don't worry, the humor gets self-deprecating, but it goes up from there. The next 90 minutes, you know, it's going to be fantastic. I have four people here that are fantastic contributors and representatives of the WordPress community. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and then we're going to start getting into some particular areas of WordPress history that I think they're going to love to share some memories, and hopefully you can relate. The first is Maher. Hello, Maher. How you doing?
Hey, everyone. Hi. My name is Maher. I'm from Mumbai, India. I'm a front-end developer and a codable expert. I've been using WordPress since last 10 years.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say last week.
No.
All right. 10 years. Wow. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know. I think it's more than 10 years because I quit my normal 9-to-5 job eight years back. So it has to be more than that. Just giving 10 plus years.
That's okay. It's okay to round.
I joined the community quite late because I didn't know there was a community existing, especially my local and then the global. So it's been fun the time I joined.
You're not going anywhere, are you? You sound like this is...
And I'm still here for...
Okay, it sounds like you're about to send off here, and I don't want this to be that type of podcast. All right?
No, definitely no.
All right.
10 years to I'm here, for sure.
Okay, well, good. It's glad to have you. Thank you very much for coming. Have we ever met before?
No, I have not met you. I've seen all your tweets. I love your...
Okay, we can stop there. All right. Robert, you're up next.
Yeah, I take over before David like sinks in under the screen.
Quickly, Robert.
So yeah, my name is Robert. I'm a CIO of Imsight, a WordPress agency. I'm in WordPress since 1.52. So for me, it's very easy. I'm so old, I can name the release I came in, which was in 2005. And people go like, no, you were older. No. I'm a late bloomer. Like I came in like 2 years already when the servers were already set up, the forums was there, and I just came in, swooped up and was like, hey, can I help with developer stuff? And the German community was like, you can develop, here is server admin access. So I just
grab a hammer
and cleaning pipes in the WordPress server community.
All right, well, good to have you on board, Robert. All right, Tammy.
Hello.
Hello. tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Tammy. I had to check how long, which was quite a thing. Apparently, according to my profile, 2006. Mm-hmm. I think I came because I was torturing a CMS, like everybody back in the day, and someone showed me that there was a better way with WordPress. I think I might have been a bit before that because I was kind of doing it. So that was on WordPress.org, and themes brought me to WordPress. So, and since then, I've been doing various core contributions, and that's me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, if anybody's been with WordPress any measure of time, they have seen you in some way, shape, or form. Simon, bring it home.
Hi.
Bring it home.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Simon. I started using WordPress in 2008, exactly 15 years ago. I started with like easy front-end development stuff, worked my way a bit to the back-end, and at some point graduated from developing stuff myself. And now I'm a product owner at Group One. And I spent like the last 10 years organizing meetups and WordCamps and stuff like that. So I really love that part of our community. And I'm looking forward to at least the next 10 years of that.
Oh, good. You're okay. Well, exercise and eat a good diet and we'll see. Well, thank you all. And again, I'm David. If you've probably already know, I work, I'm employed at Awesome Motive. I run a project called WP Charitable, or Charitable is the product. It's for non-for-profit organizations. It's been recently acquired and I'm project manager there. I've experienced with WordCamps. I've been with WordCamp Miami, started in 2008. I think I was around since WordPress 1.5, whenever that was, that came out with I think themes and pages and that sort of thing. So I've been with WordPress for a while. This is not going to be about me today. This is because I've talked enough in the past episodes of that. So I want to feel, we're going to go around, I'm going to get your picks in terms of the categories we've selected, but this is an open conversation. So as soon as the initial person gets their words out of their mouth, you're feel free to have a discussion and I'll poke accordingly. So Mahir, let's start with you. Let's talk about one of the things that we wanted to talk, and this is going to be a little bit different than if you're listening right now, you've listened to the others. These are slightly different topics and categories I wanted to touch on here because I wanted to get some, there's so much to cover for WordPress's 20th anniversary in 20 years. There's so much to cover. So I wanted to make sure we on some of the shows and some of the people I talked to, we kind of varied our discussion points. So first thing we wanted to cover was a memorable design or refresh in WordPress history. Now, some people ask me, well, does this mean this and does this mean that? Does this mean project or does this mean that? When I ask these questions, they are open for interpretation. So I am looking for something within a scope, but wherever you read that question, you can go from there. So Mahir, what was your memorable design or refresh in WordPress history?
Oh, my memorable was 1.3. One was having a multi-site built in the core.
Mm-hmm.
And one was a 2010 theme, which was more stylish, more simple, and very readable to normal users who, you know, what just want to run the WordPress as a blog, because blogging had just begun and everyone was using WordPress. So for me, it was 3.0.
Yeah, I was a big multi-site fan back in the day. And I remember we had to download two versions of WordPress.
Yes.
What was the theme again? What was the year? 2010?
2010 was a 2010 was a theme. The year was 2010.
Right, that makes sense. I was trying to pull up what it looked like because I'm drawing a blank. Remember, we were talking about
it's the white banner on top.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, I remember. Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. That was with the trees and the road as the default picture. Yeah. And it's kind of hard to describe audibly, but if you just do WordPress 10,000 theme in Google Images, you get all the clones appearing. And there is some, there was a little bit of styling there, but it was mostly what blogs, what the typical stylish, simple blogs were back then. It was like a large hero image or a large full width image. And then you had your two columns, right?
Yes, it was something new for a lot of people.
Well, before that, not too much before that. I don't know if there was another WordPress. I forget when WordPress year theme started. Was this the first one?
That was the first default theme.
That was the first.
That was the second one, no?
No, that was the first official default theme.
Well, there was Kubrick before that.
No, I see. Dang it, I lost a bet. Because, I should have said that's the first default theme that was named after years, because we had Kubrick for like 4 or 5 years before that.
Oh, yeah.
So this is kind of memorable
because this is the first default, the one that started the default years.
Because we got so sick and tired of looking at that stuff, a Kubrick theme. No, I mean, it was nice and pretty, but I mean, it's like my kids. I can only look at it so much before I need something new to glance at. So, but yeah, it was perfect. But all right. So I think that's pretty memorable. Nice round number, 3.0 multi-site. No more Kubrick, first year theme. I agree. That's a pretty good design moment in WordPress history. So Robert, what's your big design moment that you want to share?
So first, Mihir, taking multi-site from me. Like, we have a conversation next WordCamp. Like,
and from me, by the way.
So was that going to be your pick?
No, yeah. If I'm the multi-site person, yes.
Oh, see, we already have our first.
After three, so.
Yeah. That's totally. It's you are the first one. And I'm shying away from other things because I know Tammy wants to mention that. That one thing that ends with a number, probably the design refresh. But like I give Tammy the no, okay, I can take it. Okay.
See, you try to be a nice human being. Well.
Yeah. Because like I'm the second one. So but I have like
you are welcome to that one.
Yeah, but that would be my second pick. So so I would with the biggest like design. Like seismic shift from like from the feeling was when the menu went from the top to the left, like that was like I have no idea when this was. Like I'm very bad, but like
when
it was ages ago.
The menu went from the top. You mean the admin
menu?
Yeah,
the WordPress menu was in the top.
Yes,
one in world.
Yes, it was, because I remember in 1.5 it was, but I can't remember. Now you're gonna have to look things up.
I would guess, but I'm bad with like, because it's so, we're currently talking about like between like which dinosaurs were alive when this happened. So that's why it's so far off. And I will simply say like the biggest like design wise for the user interface was really when the top menu, which was not like it could not scale because you had a determined like length in the menu. We experienced that in the WordPress org menu also, that we have a problem with length there. So that was for me like a big like design visible decision that was made, and then like it's now the current way of the WordPress backend.
Okay, for now, I'll guess that it was around 2.0, because I remember it being in 1.5, and it was pretty. And I started using 1.5, but very quickly after I started using it, like I don't remember the top stuff much for very long. So I mean, I'll be Googling to fill that in, but okay, well, we're gonna put 2.0 as a placeholder. But that's right, and fortunately, I mean, we think the sidebar is a bit of a mess today with all the stuff that we had. Just imagine if it was a top-down navigation menu in the admin. Yeah,
all the like upsell things now in the top menu bar, that would be like lovely.
What would it be? How would that work? All the plugin authors have to add like a second navigation, second drop down.
It's like a mega menu.
We just like break and add another line, and you have a huge block on top of every
Tammy
admin page.
Tammy's miming all the facial expressions as we're talking here. That's fine. All right, Robert,
all the horror at the moment.
Okay, well, Tammy, now it's your turn. Robert, I'm going to get back to you on a version number on that exactly because...
Version number's 2014.
Okay, that's a year. That's close. We're getting closer now. So 2014 is the next clue. 2014.
The menu came inside.
So that's 4 years after the 2010 theme. So, I know I can do math, but I mean, that would mean it would be greater than WordPress.
No. It was already decided when the other thing that I want to mention later come into.
Don't ruin it. Don't worry. We'll figure it out. All I know is that I was, all I know is that there's probably dirt younger than the version number that we're going to find. But anyway, all right, Tammy, time to go from miming to audio and sharing your the biggest or most memorable design moment. And this should be right up your alley.
2005, and it's Kubrick. And the reason is, if you speak to most people that got their visuals or has some front end work in WordPress, have been around for a while, they got their start because of Kubrick. That was one of the themes that got them into it, or they started tinkering around with themes. It was one of those themes that you like cut your teeth on, you learn with. So that, I know we were kind of saying it was around for a while, but honestly, it's what most of us learn how to theme from. So for me, I think it's the most memorable design, mainly because of the gradient. If you think of Kubrick, you see the gradient. So that's the one for me. It's got to be Kubrick.
Well, for me personally, I may have mentioned this on another episode, but Kubrick wasn't just another design or even a design that stayed for a long time. It was when WordPress was really starting to get popular for blogs. And I think, visually speaking, at least for me, that whenever you have, if you want to get a couple of screenshots or photos or memories of just how when blogging got popular,
Set the tone. Yeah. So many people just never cut a gradient or had that big header. And that header format stayed for a very long time. The big headers, we've only just very recently stopped having big headers in our designs kind of started moving away from the big header design, realizing you don't have to have that in every design. So,
well, you know what they say about big headers. What's that?
For me, I feel that you can't really include this list without saying that, because it feels quite seminal to what you learn. And at the front and the code level, because we really learn how to create themes from it as well.
Yeah, iconic. Very good choice. So we've had WordPress 3.0, our mystery WordPress 2.0 theme that we're going to go to do, and Kubrick 2005. So Simon, can you share with us what your memorable design moment is in our WordPress history? So far I'm glad we've stayed in the past, but are you gonna be there with us, Simon, or are you edging a little closer to the future?
Pick something from the future.
No, I mean, I meant far past.
Yeah, okay. I think mine is not that long ago. Well, it should be like 10 years. Robert already alluded to it. I pick MP6, the redesign of the WordPress admin interface.
See, you hear that sigh, Simon? That means I can Google it and get a year versus Robert's
it's
description.
It's 2013. It should be WordPress 3.8.
Well, I'm not going to fact check.
Just keep in mind the new redesign of the interface.
Yeah, it's just 10 years old. That's still good. And that was a point where I really started loving the way the WordPress backend looks, because before that it was cool, it was nice, it was usable. But with that, it felt like really fresh and still to a certain degree does today. And I think there were a couple of smaller redesigns. I think WordPress 5.7 had the standardization of colors or something it was called, where we had a bit more contrast, a bit more unified set of colors, which is also very nice. I came to that. But that's the interface on the web that I interact with like every single day of every year. ever since. So that's quite cool.
It looks like to me, I think this plugin was around a while before it actually officially mm-hmm. came out in the WordPress release, because I'm finding posts from 2013. And do you remember why it was called MP6? I mean, must stand for
Temi
something.
Temi doesn't know, nobody knows here.
Yeah, I'm looking at...
I think it was a project name.
It had to be Matt. It had to be probably Matt or I forget the original designer or the original project creator, because this was 9 years ago.
It was a group of people who created it and got together. It was one of the first projects where a group of people got together and created it and kind of worked on it. It was kind of the first attempt at that to get kind of designed and collectively, I guess.
Yeah. Was that the first, what do you call them? Project plugins? No, that's not the right word.
Feature
plugins?
Those terms back then.
Yeah. Because would this been a considered
plugins or anything? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the term didn't exist, but I think it was probably one of the first quote unquote feature plugins, right? Yeah. I mean, without that, we'd still be looking at the, now, if I can find a screenshot between Robert's pick and Simon's pick for the WordPress admin where it was side navigation, but it's still in the before MP6. Man, I can't remember.
People were not like, if you showed them MP6, it looks very like the current interface. So that's why
we don't change anything.
Just need to like the pre MP6 phase, yeah. Because that was the new redesign. As I cannot emphasize enough that about how new this was for the WordPress people. And we are like, finally, someone is investing in the WordPress backend interface. So that was really like a jump in user interface and usability of WordPress.
It had a bunch of new dash icons. Remember that? Remember dash icons? For those of us who know what those are. A redesigned widgets page by Sean Andrews from his widgets project. MP6 included that. Wow. I totally forgot about the widgets project. Improvements to the customizer color schemes. Is this when we got our color schemes like ectoplasm or something? I wonder if that's, yep. Tammy's shaking her head vigorously, yes. And a new midnight color scheme. So that's, thank you, Sarah from 2013 for helping us remind that. Well, that sounds fantastic. So We have stayed pretty well pre-2015, pre-Gutenberg. I applaud you all for the biggest, most memorable design moments not being part of anywhere beyond the 5.0 release of WordPress. Thank you. So just to rehash here, Mihir, WordPress 3.0 multi-site and the first year themed theme. Robert, we're still going to hunt for a version specific for that, I assure you, but we're talking about when the big jump made from moving navigation from the top to the left-hand side. We're going to guess that's 2.0 WordPress for now. Kubrick, who could forget Kubrick? We didn't. Tammy thought that was, and that probably one of the most fundamental images and thumbnails representing the blog, when blogs were in its heyday, when movable type was starting to fade and WordPress jumped on the scene, how iconic. And then MP6, Simon picked that, and that, of course, is just, you know, we still have that with us today, and that's been probably around 10 years. So fantastic. Well, from design wise, I really don't have much to say in this department. I think the early version of WordPress that introduced pages was great, but that's not really much of a design feature. That's just, I think it did open it up for a little bit more design. If I had to pick something, I don't know if this would be my most memorable, but I use it every day. It is the redesign of the WordPress site, WordPress.org. A lot of people don't remember how that looked way, 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 way back then. And then it was all split out into various groups, various categories as we have them today, you know, core and design and plugins and all of that. I don't know, maybe this is an old person talking, but it was really, really clunky and really plain back in the early days. And now with the learn.wordpress.org and the redesign stuff that's happening, it's looking so much more professional and grown up, maybe is the best word I can describe it in. But anyway, that's just me. And maybe I will share some, if I can find some old screenshots of that, which I couldn't initially, maybe I would love to share them with you. So let's move on to our next category. Mihir, you are up again. So we are talking about the most notable enhancement to WordPress core that isn't Gutenberg related. So I definitely put that qualifier in there because I think that would be way too easy, way too broad. And when I say most notable enhancement to WordPress core, that means this is, it had to appear in WordPress core at some point. Maybe it's something that's not there anymore, or maybe something that it was acquired or merged into WordPress core. It didn't have to start there, but it was something, a most notable enhancement to WordPress core. And I had some people say, well, what do you mean by enhancement? Do you mean coding wise or design wise? Again, this is up to your interpretation. As long as you don't say the G word, we'll be okay with me here. So go ahead. What is your most notable enhancement to WordPress core? We had no gluten free.
Mine is the events widget on the dashboard.
I'm sorry, say that again. My ears exploded. Event, what was that?
The event widget.
Oh, the event widget.
Yes.
Ooh, this is why I like talking to people that are above the age of 18, because that's all I have in my house for like a week, every week. The events widget. Oh, tell us a little bit about that in case people have forgotten about that.
So whenever there's any meetup happening or WordPress happening in your locality, the events are displayed there. And in our local, what I noticed is once the widget came out, a lot of new people who didn't know the community started, you know, attending meetups, started interacting with the community. So we had a few different people at every meetup. So that's something which is memorable, which is
that
for me.
Is an amazing pick. I never would have thought of that. And apparently you
community grow even with that. So for me, that's still in the mind, more than Gutenberg.
That's amazing because not only does it serve, did it serve a purpose? I can't remember if this is when people realized meetup.com was crap. I can't remember exactly when. Sorry to our sponsor, meetup.com, by the way. I love you. So mom, who works there. So meetup.com was probably the only way WordPress people were finding each other at the time. Do you know when that, I guess we're going to have to find out when that came about because I have no idea.
That was WordPress 4.8.
And do you have a year for that?
No.
Oh, well, now that we know a version number. Hello, welcome to a podcast where we're doing our research live on the air.
Should
thank
be
you.
2017?
Or something like that.
Yeah. Welcome to a normal community conversation, by the way. We don't run around and know version numbers and years. We just go like, Brandy. Do you remember this feature? Okay. Oh my God.
That's you get what you pay for.
The hallway track.
People are getting
and
what they pay
someone
for.
Gets their phone out and starts tapping and then finds it. And then you go, oh yes.
Someone's rolling their eyes right now and starting a letter. Dear David,
I can't believe they didn't know that.
David, professional in quotes. We have that before that, 2017, the reason why I was wanting a year is because that is before, I think, Slack and WordPress Slack, I believe.
No. Slack was in Seville already. Slack was there. So, yeah.
Okay, so I don't want to pinpoint it. I guess... Yeah, because I remember a community summit when they made the announcement, but that could have been as early as 2015. So if that widget came out in 2017, there were still ways, I guess the two top ways you would know about WordPress community would be meetup.com was still probably the biggest way there. And then maybe if you were on WordPress Slack at the time, right?
Yeah, but meetup.com was the we decided on meetup.com because I remember the conversation we had internally hey, let's build this. And like people who know project management was like, you know that we want to do democratizing publishing, not democratizing events here. So that's why luckily we decided to simply give meetup.com money and let they run all of this. And we simply like hooked the meetup API into their system and was simply like let them do all the work.
Oh, so I was talking, when I talk about meetup.com, I talk about the interface on meetup.com because my experience with it was I was running meetups through meetup.com and creating the meetups, even searching for meetups. And I'm sure it got better over time. I think amazing, coincidentally enough, is when there was that single page for the WordPress meetups, like you said, I think there was some deal with the, I'm going to guess WordPress Foundation on this was involved or something, but before a while you would just have random spots of communities on meetup.org, which was hard to find. That's the experience I remember because I was running one of those meetups or two of them actually for a while. And then there came a time where everything was under one umbrella organizational wise. I think it had a dedicated page. And probably, I'm guessing at that time is where the widget would probably start pulling that kind of information, right? Because it's all centralized meetup. It's probably I'm like a meetup organization or something like that. So apologies for me getting it a little confused. I think it did get better. But I remember once we had that widget, I pointed people toward the widget and we would have meetups where I said, how many people found us through the widget? And we always had one or two people at our meetups raise their hand. So I think that's an amazing pick. I'm seeing a few people nod. So is that your experience as well, Simon?
Yeah, I think our meetup in Germany, multiple meetups in Germany, like grew tenfold or something in the year following this update with 4.8. So that's really huge for the meetup community.
Yeah. So not only do we get a nice new widget on the dashboard, which doesn't come by that often, but it had an impact on the community. So I think that's a really cool pick. Really appreciate you taking us down memory lane, and my apologies to meetup.com. Robert, I believe you're up next. So again, just in case people have nodded off here listening to us.
Totally fine. I can bring up something that has nothing with 5.0, that is a feature that influenced many people. And that everybody goes like, yeah.
Gutenberg related. Now, if there's anything else in 5.0
Not even close. I'm still in a very old feature. I'm still in 3.0. I'm talking about menus.
Menus. Oh, you mean
because
creating
before
menus?
That you needed to have pages and pages needed to have redirects because you needed to get some structure. And then the only thing to have a hierarchical structure where you have like parents and children was with pages, and that was like when people like fumbled their menu structure together with external links, and then you had a drag and drop in the WordPress backend with menus.
I can't remember 3.0. That was 3.0.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was merged from WooSeams. The WooSeams feature of menus were merged into WordPress core.
Wow, that is so hard to point. Looking back on that now, 3.0, so not only 3.0 had multi-site and the new theme, it had the menu stuff too. That's amazing. That would have been so barbaric. Probably the reason why
No problems with me with features in WordPress.
That's so barbaric. It's like for a long time, it's like, why do all these WordPress sites barely have any menus on them until this date? I remember Cooper. That might explain why my early Cooper days. I don't see many menus. They were on the sidebar. A lot of the links for websites. Yeah, I don't know.
It was all a widget. It were all kind of lists. And
no, that's what the link feature where you could have defined.
Yeah, that's what it was. Because that's all we had. You didn't have anything else. And then when you had early menus, you had to do those walker things that you only knew if you knew special magic words and wore wizard hat. That was because it was really, really difficult.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, yeah, definitely. Notable enhancement menus. Where could we be without menus? It's like a car without, I don't know, a steering wheel or something. All right, Tammy, notable enhancement to WordPress core and no Guten. Yeah.
I think I'm back at 3.0, but I want that checked. Custom post types is where I'm going. I feel like we're just settling on that release, but it's one of those releases where we just kind of, it feels like it grew up or we got the features, which then meant that not just people could write logs or use, you could then pivot and grow and extend. That's really what that release felt about. And custom post types, if you think about everyone that's made a product or everyone that's used in an agency or anyone that's done anything with WordPress, they wouldn't have probably done that if it hadn't been a custom post type. So it kind of was there, or at least that concept. So, and even Gutenberg has the G word, I'm sorry, but that has the roots in that kind of thinking. So yeah, custom post types is the thing for me.
It's really what started to make WordPress more than a blog. Like everybody's.
Then you could make it yours, and you could take it your direction, and you could build on top of it. You know, we now think about like headless and doing everything you want and all that. That would not have been possible if we hadn't started thinking about custom post types, which now sounds really like simple, right? But it's not. That back then, that was radical thinking.
Yes. You could start making, and history would rather us not learn this lesson too deeply, but I mean, you could make like WordPress into any sort of application you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that you should, but I mean, you could, right? And there was already custom post types.
It wasn't just these pages with Kubrick, but it was just this flat file. As we've just heard, you had navigation and then you had these different things. You had so much in 3.0. 3.0 was basically like Christmas.
And yeah, I mean, how much brain matter had this? How much brain matter was scraped off the floor at the WordCamp announcement for 3.0? You know, it's like our minds were blown so much. Just stop it, yeah. Stop it. It's already dead.
But if you think back then about the upgrade paths of 3.0 as well, because back then it was very different as well. It's like we don't have releases that are that significant now because so many things happened then. It's kind of mind blowing.
Yes, it's like. You went to the customer saying, let's upgrade you, versus the customer. No, really? No, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go nuts. All right, Batman. So, all right, Simon. So we've got an events widget. We've got menus. We've got custom post types. I don't want to put any pressure on you here, but do you have something? He's going to say entering text into a box. For the win, Alex. And
that was exactly what I was going for. No, actually, in the first round, all my picks and the backups and their backups were picked by everyone else. But this time,
I said to come with a sack.
This time, every single one of my picks is still in the race, and that makes it a bit hard. And I'm going for the, I think, most insignificant one of them. Because it's no longer in core, and that's something we don't do that often.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I think I know what it is.
It's post formats.
Yes.
I really loved that feature back in the day. As I said, I was...
Tell us a little bit about post formats, Simon. Yeah,
I was building a lot of themes back then, and post formats basically had the idea that you can not only post a post, so not just a blob of text, but also... Oh, I have a list somewhere here, so I don't have to just fumble around like an idiot. Something that was called a site, like a small kind of update kind of post. You had a galleries, links, images, quotes, a status. While reading that, I'm not so sure how that compares to a site. Video, audio, and chat. And they're gone now. They were introduced in 3.1. But they were... That was a really fun way of styling different kinds of content in blogs.
I remember Matt talking about it on stage, by the way. I mean, I'm that old.
I'm so happy that
they are
gone.
I'm not at all.
Robert,
so confusing for people.
Robert, we'll get to your negative emotions, but I'm sorry, Simon, I interrupted. Go ahead. You were telling us about this wonderful feature.
It was so wonderful. And at some point, I'm not sure when, it was removed from core. I think there's still a way around that. You can still technically use it in some capacity, but it's not longer in core.
I mean, you can also use a block now. You could use a block and and have it as a...
That's not the same.
I mean...
No.
You could say in it.
Well, it was introduced in 3.1, it says here. So it almost made, like, we were riding high back then as WordPress people. We're like, oh man, 3.0 is so awesome. What's next? Oh, this post format stuff. Oh man, we got to do this. And then crickets. Why do you all think that post formats didn't make it?
I think blogging is not that relevant anymore.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the things, is like, it's very in the blogging sphere. I think it works just for blogging, or not for a particular type of blogging even. Mm-hmm. And there was a, you know, if you think about, was it timelines? It was a big thing back then. I mean, kind of want to bring them back, you know, and like listening to and doing and status updates. It was kind of in a time before we used social media as well. So people were using their blog to post and syndicate everything on there. And people just started doing that in other places rather than their blog. Not saying they're not going to come back with the world as it is and owning your own content. But I think that because it was very particular, and then WordPress was starting to become about more broad in its terms, I think that's the thing when we moved to plugins being about particular things rather than the interface.
Yeah. I just want to pick on my like negative thing that I said. I just wanted, like, in terms of the user, for the user, it was very complicated to like decide while writing. And if we are emphasizing on, like, for the majority of users and have it very lean, mean interface, then it's like going like, okay, what of these 7 things is that what you currently want to do? And or 9 or whatever it was. And it was not extendable. So it was, oh my God. So that's why it was very, for the user, not that, that's why I'm saying like, it was not easy to understand, and they just want to publish. And then we're going like, please do this checkbox, and otherwise you cannot like start the car. So that's why I was like really against the post formats, because they were against the directory of WordPress having like becoming easier to use for people.
Yeah, and as much as I love the feature, I think that's a valid reason to remove it.
Yeah, because even a lot of my clients, they choose a post type and they expected some result, something else came up. So a lot of people were confused, users.
I can see that. All right. So I have here events widget, menus, custom post types, and RIP to post format. Although I think it's in the code somewhere. It's and you can, up to this point, right? They wouldn't just outright kill it. They hit it and it's still in there somewhere. And it just, one of those few things in WordPress that had a lot of fanfare, and again, it just, for one reason or another, it just kind of fizzled a little bit. So I'm going to throw in mine. So believe it or not, there is something that was once popular. And I don't know if post formats, you could say it was popular, but I like to think it was. At least it had a little bit of runway. There was something early on in WordPress that was popular, that was used quite a bit. And then in version 3.5, I think at 3.5, feel free to correct me, future self, that it disappeared. I'm talking about something in the admin. I'm talking about something that was started very on in WordPress. And in fact, it was part of blogging culture for a long time, that if you had a blog on your website, in the sidebar, looking to see if people are starting to think about this, you had a list of other people's blogs that you could that you would link to. And that was called, drum roll please, I broke my table, blog roll. That was called a blog roll, but in the WordPress backend, does anybody remember what menu that was? No? Okay.
Links.
All right, thanks for ruining it. Links. There was a links menu. No, that's right. I mean, so it was the links. So I don't know if this was in WordPress from day one. I like to think like pretty soon in WordPress it was. I couldn't find when it was actually officially added, but I'm pretty sure I could if I put my mind to it. But link management phased out of WordPress, from what I can see, around WordPress 3.5. Supposedly WordPress.com added them back or something along those lines. I'm not sure if they're still there. So in WordPress 3.5, links was gone. And, you know, by the time it was gone, nobody was using it. Very few people were using it. Because I remember when it was gone, it was like one of those things that like it was getting old and crusty anyway. And it needed to be taken out to the refuge, trash bin, dumpster, whatever you kids are calling it these days. But I remember using that as one of the first things when I started with WordPress 1.5, because blog rolls were a thing. You would like link the top, like if people were reading your blog, they wanted something similar to, and you needed something on the sidebar. And believe it or not, when people stopped using that, they kind of went over to menus, like a menu widget or something, I think, with some people wanted to continue that. But yeah, the links management system, blog rolls, in the early days of blogging, those were things, you know? So anyway, RIP to a real one, links management. So that was for me. All right. Lastly,
Can I jump in?
Can you link to something? Sure.
Yeah. I cannot, like, because it was also hard for me to pick something. And Simon, do you do the other thing? One of the things that was very, very important, but it's not like really visible to see to people, is for me the REST API. Because if we talk about like what we are currently like doing with all the word we cannot mention here, because it's a history show.
The he who cannot be named. Yes.
But without the REST API, many things currently would not be possible, because that's the foundation and like the sheer energy to put this into WordPress against all odds, against like, why do we need this? It's not a visible feature. And when everybody was like, but we need a REST API, XML RPC is not going to make it. We need to have the future to really communicate with the WordPress backend. And this needs to be in WordPress. We really, really need this. And then we got like some base features in there. And now we have it like as the foundation of, we cannot name it here. We have this the foundation. And if you would disable that, you would like have a time machine jump back in the time with the features that we're currently having.
Yeah. The next
iteration of the WordPress interface, like WP Admin, is, I guess, very likely to also be based on the REST API.
So here are some runner-ups. Just thought I'd throw them out there real quick. Auto updates.
That was the one that Robert meant. I should mention. Yeah, we discussed that earlier. Auto updates were introduced in 3.7 and changed, I guess, WordPress forever, because since then, every WordPress website is updated, at least patched to its newest version, which is really cool. And until recently, we also kept like all the, I don't know what was the last version of 3.7 still supported.
Like 30 something. 40, yeah.
So it was really crazy that all these old versions are still maintained to a degree.
Mihir, did you?
I'm sorry.
I wanted to get Mihir. Mihir was shaking her head like a bobblehead doll. Did you grasp auto updates? Because Mihir, as well as everyone else, I think, because I know there was a lot of controversy in the beginning about WordPress back then, smaller market share than it does now. Were you comfortable with auto updates, Mihir, in your decade? I'm sorry, you weren't a decade before, but how were you comfortable? Were you comfortable with WordPress updates?
Initially, no, because a lot of sites broke. That was because of the theme and the plugins. But as years passed, auto updating WordPress is good, because at least people have reduced saying that WordPress is not secure.
Yeah.
And it is auto-updated. People find that WordPress is secure. What we add to it with a theme or plugin, there is some vulnerability over there.
So you got warm to it. What were you saying, Tammy?
I was going to take this in a different direction, so I'm checking whether we are done on auto-updates.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the other two I only wanted to mention in passing was the customizer. That's kind of, we're kind of seeing that maybe in the rearview mirror a little bit. For a while, though, that was the true no-code interface to customizing a theme, in core anyway. And lastly was the, let's see, I pasted a URL and this URL does not make sense. There is also smaller things too that maybe doesn't play to, I wouldn't say a huge part, but we had things like site health, import, exporting WordPress in from core with the plugins, that sort of thing. So lots of little things. And
I had one from 2012, which was something that's going to get redesigned or reworked in this cycle or this phase, which is the new media management happened in 2012, which sounds a long time ago.
Yeah, I can't even remember what it was like before then. I think you had to draw something and mail it to your WordPress blog.
Be glad that you don't remember. It was a big thing. And I think that, and even you could have picked like the old way we used to do revisions, which even now you look at revisions and you think, oh, that's quite dated. The old way was even more dated back in the day. And why I kind of thought of those ones was because they look dated to us now, but we're redoing them now. And I kind of think that that's kind of interesting to think of, like the cycle of like every 10 or so years is kind of when we kind of redo things, which kind of is kind of healthy as a project.
Hey, well, we're an open source. If we can get to the 10-year mark, that's a win, right?
Pretty healthy.
Actually, to wrap this section up, completely forgot about revisions. Not that I use them too often, but that and the little
when
thing.
When the slider came in?
Yes.
When we first got the slidey.
I'm not sure if I took to the slider very quickly because I'm like, it's kind of like going to the eye doctor. Does A look better to you or B?
I worked on
A
that.
A or B? No, it had nothing to do with the design. It had me trying to keep in my head what, and then the side-by-side stuff, I think, was a lot better. But yeah. Revisions has saved more people's butts probably than one would remember. Because that and autosave, for a while, I don't remember when, but I know WordPress, when it started, did not autosave your posts as you were typing them. And I remember Matt said, standing on stage saying, now your power can go out or whatever, and you've got that post. And revisions, and that also, for me, blended into later revisions where there's a previous revision. Are you sure you want to edit this? Or do you want to look at that or go back to it?
I think back then, revisions was, I always kind of forget the words, but it was when we were trying to make things look real. I think skeuomorphic or something. It was like when you were trying to make, like Apple, you're trying to make things look real, all those kind of design things. And I think, unfortunately, it did inherit a little bit from that. So I think now we would go a lot more streamlined. Design has come on a little bit. It's more information-based. It's more how you're going to process. It's more kind of quick. If you look at the way GitHub and all those kind of interfaces are now, you know, we've learned. But back then, we were trying to solve a problem that hadn't really been kind of comprehended. We were trying to visualize issues that we hadn't. So it was kind of really interesting to think of like going back to it now with everything we know about the complications of those. And now we know that people probably do want to extend those, probably do want to export them, probably do find them useful as well.
We may see a little bit of a change in this department with phase three with the multi-user stuff too.
Oh, I think we're going to see a complete change in that. Well, at least I hope we do, because honestly, that's not going to scale.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, I would. Yeah, I always get for, I get my daughter says, I'm trying to edit a post in your site and it says you're still in there. Can you close a tab? I'm like, I can kick you out. I'm like, fine. You're your mother's daughter anyway. So, all right. So we have one last category here. Mihir, you are up first. Now, this category is how I described this, and these are getting wordier as we go along, but okay. So this is a memorable community moment or community initiative or community cause that wasn't a WordPress release. And you're saying, well, why did David put not a WordPress release? Well, because there have been a couple of memorable WordPress releases focused on who was releasing, who is contributing, all great things, but we've got a lot of that feedback in the past about, oh, It was you know, the WordPress releases, especially the ones where the underrepresented groups took over for WordPress release. Great, that could be counted as a community moment. Fantastic. But everybody says that when they first think of one. So I wanted this to be a little bit more tougher. No WordPress releases, but anything else is open game in terms of a community moment, an initiative, or a cause. So Mihir, I would love to hear what you've got to say about this.
For me, when I joined the community, I always, there were very few women who participated. And when I used to go to WordCamps also, the women were fewer. So I just started, you know, gathering all the women and started taking group pictures. And it became a thing. Like, if I was there in WordCamp, it was, you know, I had to do a group picture because everyone got excited. New people added. So pre-pandemic, each WordCamp I went to, I mandatory went on stage in the lunch break and decided a time, place where, you know, everyone will get together. I heard a few things, but I said, this is helping encourage other women. So I don't see any problem. So why not? And I used to put on Twitter as well.
So you organize, yeah.
Encouraging someone else.
What's that?
It's kind of encouraging another woman to be a part of the community.
Absolutely. So like selfies, but good, but selfies representing underrepresented groups. The WordPress, I mean, you can talk about this all day, and this is not exclusive to the WordPress community. It's tech in general, right? We're always used to that. I have a daughter who is growing up, and she kind of grew up in the WordPress community more or less for the last 10 years, you know, with the WordCamp exposure and everything. And, you know, today we kind of take some of the efforts to make people feel welcome for granted a little bit. There's still obviously a lot that needs to be done in the community. But back in the early days, it was, you know, especially if someone who relates to a subject or a conference, they love seeing people that represent them on stage or representing them organizing an event, right? And maybe it's not apples to apples exactly, but you know, it's like, especially if you just think of, you're a young woman. I can't, but I have a daughter, so you know, I've seen her reactions, and she can connect so well with when women were speaking at meetups. So just imagine, like back then, we just, you know, the focus wasn't there because we were just happy to have meetups and WordCamps, period. And then once we started getting people to speak, then we kind of, like some people especially, started to notice a pattern, and that had to be brought to a lot of people's attention. So that kind of, we kind of evolved into a way where, yes, okay, now we've got we've got some basics down, but now we've got a lot of improving to do, because if we want this community to grow and be decent human beings, we should try to make things as different. And you know what that does for me as an organizer? I was focused on speaker stuff, but there were so many people at the WordCamps like you, Mihir, were doing these side, I don't want to use the wrong term because they're important, but side events. Right. Or something like that. But I mean that respectfully, in terms of like, yeah, let's get this certain group together and take a photo, or have this mini meetup, or like an after dinner thing at WordPress meetups and that sort of thing. Or even now online, you know, there's various communities out there that exist for particular kinds of groups, Black Press and so forth, that at least I'm familiar with. So I think that was a fantastic idea. I don't know if anybody else is familiar with anything else or wants to jump in, but I think putting down a moment in terms of, now I don't know how to word this exactly, so maybe you can give me a term I can put in the show notes. I have women selfies written down here just because that's how my brain works. And I don't want to be canceled
women
later.
In WordPress,
so if you can give me another term.
What I got.
What's that?
Women in WordPress.
You got it. I will quote you on that.
Seeing that it's possible to not just see one of you though as well, which is what you identify, and you're saying that there's more than one of you and there's more than one possibility of you as well, which is really, really important. Seeing all the different possibilities that you could do in all the different areas, I think that's important for whoever you are as well. So I love that. I think that's amazing. And more of it.
And in the WordPress leadership roles too. So many are women. My family, women are the hardest working ones anyway.
Okay, we got that on tape?
All right, good. All right, just a little insurance from my wife later. All right, Robert, let's talk a favorite community moment or cause, okay, something along those lines.
So my day job is to challenge processes. Now let's see if I have a runner up. So I just want to see if it's like how close I am to the things that are not allowed. Okay. My favorite or my most memorable community moment is when the whole room at the State of the World gasped. The point was when Matt stopped the release cycle. So before the 5.0 release, like we had this like every 3 months we had a release, and then this was not gonna cut it because the changes we needed to do were really too big. So I heard from so many core people that was not gonna cut it in a few months back to just get it in. So my question is, does counting of starting a release cycle count? So because we were in the room and it was like, yeah, and now that's why Matt explained that. And that's why we stopped the release cycle now. And it was like, what the hell just happened? For me, that was a very memorable moment.
I think he dropped the mic too. I can't remember. When was that?
2017. We can ask Tammy because she was design team rep after that. Yeah. And yeah.
It would have been 4.9, but we didn't do that. It was before 5.0, then we had a pause and did it. So, yeah.
I think it was 17.
I don't know the year exactly. There's many years that blended into each other during that.
But there was a 4.9. There was a 4.9, wasn't there?
There were many 4.9s.
It would have been like 5.0. It was after 4.9. It would have been...
So it's kind of like 4.0, kind of like walking halfway toward a wall and then walking halfway toward a wall. There's 4.9, there's 4.99, 4.999, 4.999. Oh, we're not at 5.0 yet.
Very long 4.9 release.
Yeah, but the beauty was really that there was no release. So there was like, we will have a release when we have a release. And like there was a release in between where we like fixed small stuff because we still needed to do while like Tammy and other people were like, okay, how? What are we doing? How do we like? What is the goal here? And that's why it was really for me like it really in this moment in this room at the WordCamp US, you really could feel a needle drop in the room because like it was something that never happened before because like you could you can set your watch to WordPress releases and then we simply stop doing that. While deciding that we like stop doing it because it doesn't make any sense. So it was really, really weird and really good because it helped us to make this leap that we not talking about right now, but it helped us to really prepare for that.
It was also a stop and help was also kind of part of it. It was stop and this is how you can get involved. I think that was kind of the other bit. Like once everyone kind of gets over that, oh, we stopped. It was, and then here's how you can get involved. So it kind of had that double. Or at least that was my through the haze of time impact was it brings about the, okay, now I can get involved because people do like a release cycle, right?
Consistency.
Now I can get involved and now I can do that. And it did get us to 5.0. It absolutely got us to it. And without that, we would not have had the 5.0, you know, there's no point in releasing something there. We are radically different from what we were, but there's no point in releasing something that would have been half-baked. It wouldn't have worked.
Yeah. So we have actually done that at least once in our WordPress history, right? Yeah. I don't know if we'll see a moment like that again, at least anytime soon. It seems like Gutenberg phases seem to be planned out, or at least not like that drama-ish type of thing, right? It wasn't a press release. Robert's right. I remember I remember saying Matt said it, and I think a few people had to change their pants. It was that kind of a moment where you just kind of expected, like, this is all we have known, you know? And that's funny because, you know, fast forward to a few days before WordCamp US and you know, me in a hotel room, super caffeinated, trying to finish something as Matt is in a chat room saying 5.0 is coming out now, whether we like it or not, it's coming out, you know? Anyway, I better stop with the analogies.
It was ready.
Well, it was ready, kind of like I'm on top of this on a hill skiing, and somebody says, "Oh, you're ready," and slowly pushing me off the ledge. It was that type of ready. Oh yeah, it was ready. I just did, you know, just thinking my life flashing before my eyes right before it came out though. Let's see, Tammy. I think your next community initiative, cause, whatever.
I'm gonna take you back to 2014.
I don't want to go.
Miami and the first ever kids workshop.
Oh, you actually snagged something.
Miami. Oh, because I still have really fond memories of it. It kind of felt really incredible to. It wasn't even really that organized. It wasn't really that.
Thanks, Tammy. Really appreciate it.
Big initiative. I'm sorry, but there's no like back then.
We David doing, written like, all over.
Initiative.
I'm sorry.
we weren't trying to do. We were just going to be doing the event. We weren't going to necessarily try and do anything bigger with it. And I think it planted a good seed that maybe took a bit of time before anything else happened. But that was absolutely fine. And it was really important. Well, just to start that, I think it's both important for representation, but also important for an open source project doesn't work with older people only working on it. So for me, it was incredibly special. If I think of the people that were in that room as well, who were passing on, many of them are still involved, contributing, in fact, all of them that I can think of. And it was just really special for me.
Yeah. Now, just to be clear, for someone who is about to write that email to us, this is not the first kids camp ever in a WordCamp. It was the one Tammy attended.
No, it was a kids workshop.
I don't like to use workshop. The word kids and work very close to each other because people get sensitive about that.
Yeah, it was 2014. It was no like kids camp or anything like that. It was just, I don't think it was that long either. We weren't doing it for or anything like that.
Kids don't exactly have long attention span. So yeah, that's under.
It was nothing official. It was no official kids camp. It was nothing, and it was a long time ago. So there was no kind of officialness of it. But no, it was. I think we got them set up on a blog, and we got them customizing a theme and writing their first post. That was as far as we got. That was our goal of the day.
Some people vowed never have children after that. Our younger volunteers. Well, I mean, it was there at Miami because I was at Phoenix and saw something very similar. I think it was a one-day event at Phoenix. I was there watching the kids, which nowadays sounds creepy when you say, are you here? Do you have any kids? No, I'm just watching them, seeing how they do things. All right, Sarah, security. But I was watching how they did it in Phoenix. And this was, I don't know, maybe it's 2012 or 2013 or something like that. And then that's when we started doing in Miami. And now there's lots of kids camps. There's a whole kids section now of learning and people in charge of that type of thing now. And there's probably going to be something at US. I know there's something at Europe coming up, which is fantastic. So it's exploded. And then when we did our 10th anniversary WordCamp Miami, it progressed to a point where we had the kids, I forget what the ages were. I'll just say like 7 to 11 or 7 to 12, 7 to 13, that age group. Doing what you said, more or less. But then we kind of took the teenagers, 14 to like high school level. And then we had a day where we taught them WordPress. And then a day after, like we taught them WordPress and how to build a store in WooCommerce. Then the next day we taught them SEO and how to market it.
Wow. I think it was also back then we were being very experimental with what could a WordCamp be. Remember the day of rest and all the different kind of buddy camps and different things. Oh, I think we were just kind of experimenting with different formats as well. Yeah, exactly. We were just, I think that was part of it as well. It's like, how can we start? And it's great to kind of think about that as well. So I think that was kind of amazing.
Fantastic memories. Stole one of my mentions. So Simon, Let's cover the anything from a community moment standpoint that stood out for you.
Yeah, I'll stay in the event space, I guess.
Oh, and he's choked up. This is going to be so good.
And I just noticed that we'll stay in the 2013-ish kind of time frame.
It's the WordPress 3.0 of years, right?
Yeah. Because in, I think it was early October 2013, we had the first WordCamp Europe in Leiden. And it was such a stupid idea back then.
Wait, let me write that down. Simon, yeah. Stupid. Okay, go ahead, Simon. Just want to be sure I got this, because
it's just the kind of stupid idea that held on and exploded into the kind of mega event that WordCamp Europe is today. And it was totally different back then, but the idea to bring like a whole continent together and have a joint event was beautiful. And also it was a nice event. I have to say that.
Possibly the first regional event, although I don't know if WordCamp Asia
it was forced into existence.
What's that?
Yeah, it really was. And there was no WordCamp US before that, at least no official one.
There was none. There was just San Francisco, the global one, as we European call that.
And I think it was fun. Sorry.
No. Okay. Oh. As it was the first, and it was done in an incredibly short time. I don't think anyone ever realizes how short a time it was done in the end as well.
Somebody only had few people only had one change of clothes. It was that quick.
But yeah, and so as someone that was involved in it, it was one of those things that I think you rarely get to experience. The venue was incredible. I plus one that was one of those venues. Several of us had gone to a conference before in that venue and got to see that venue, and it was one of those venues that I would love to use again for something. It's just a great venue.
It really also started to formulate the idea that we could have larger WordCamps, and the community had matured to that point where we could bring in a larger event and we could coordinate across multiple countries for that sort of thing. Before that, all you had was cities, or I think in a few places, or, you know, general regions like WordCamp Southeast or Midwest or something, some direction in the US. But that was a very memorable moment in terms of community history. Because again, I don't know, I don't know when Japan, I know WordCamp Japan has been very, very long standing, but for Europe, it got a lot of attention, and I think rightly so. So I'm really good for that, because it kind of set the pattern for WordCamp US a bit. It set a precedent for, there's WordCamp Asia, and there's probably, I feel like I'm leaving somebody out. I think there's one on the books, and I just can't remember what region is now going to be. I know they want to have a WordCamp Africa.
WordCamp Nordic. You had a WordCamp Nordic regions in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, who knows? In 30 years, WordCamp Mars. So anyway, I think that's a pretty, pretty, pretty good thing to put a pin on in terms of the community there. Now, I could, as much as I like my WordCamp Miami, there really was nothing, there's nothing that equals that level. So I'm going to leave that out because I'm biased anyway. I do want to mention two things from a community cause or initiative standpoint. One was, and I may have mentioned this in a past episode, so listener, I apologize if I'm repeating myself, but it's also when we talk about the community, recognizing those that we no longer have in our community. So I thought one thing that stood out to me that represented it was the Kim Parshall's Memorial Scholarship. Because a lot of the old timers remember her. I remember her at WordCamp San Francisco. But also, like all those other people that, you know, our community, the older community gets, people get old. That's life currently. So people will leave the community in that manner. Not drama wise. I'm never coming back to the community, but people pass away or people have accidents and that sort of thing. So it is that kind of represents to me not just the scholarship itself, which is a great initiative on its own, but it's a recognition of, you know, we have important people that we want to remember in the WordPress community, whether it's in the form of a scholarship or honoring them on social media every year, seeing their names in releases. I know there's a couple of people, and I am really, really bad at remembering his name right now, but he created a plugin. He was into race car driving. I remember him in a race car elf. What's that?
Viper.
Yeah, Viper, Viper right? Seven, but what was his name, though? What was the name? I'm going to kill
myself. 007.
Yes, the username. Yeah, but I'm talking about his real name and I'm frustrated with myself. I can't remember it, but I remember when he passed away. I forget what plugin he did. I guess I'll include that in show notes.
He did the Regenerate Thumbnails plugin and his Alex.
Oh, okay. So we remember him by reputation. But it's all of those people that do these plugins. And
Alex Mills.
There you go. I'm horrible at remembering names, but yes.
I'm Googling, just like...
Oh, I don't judge. Honest. Just keep your hands here. So we have Kim Parcells, we have Alex Mills, all of these people that are involved, that were the community, that we've taken their plugin, we've taken their plugins and their work, and they're, you know, and it's in WordPress core now, it's our popular plugin now. And the other thing I wanted to point out as a community initiative or moments was the WAPU itself. And I see one behind Tammy. Hopefully she knows it's there. And we have so many, it's incorporated, like every WordCamp now has a WAPU. It was also, a lot of the kids' stuff had WAPUs involved as a cartoon character. And, you know, that was part of the kids' camp stuff. And I'm sharing a link with you all right now. One of the coolest swag moments I ever had was for, I don't know which WordCamp Miami was, but we came out with these Uno cards with WAPUs on them. And I put it on as open source on GitHub. And this is the community angle. Like a couple of WordCamps from like the other side of the world, I think from India or Indonesia, I believe it was somewhere in that general area, they pinged us and said, can we use these? I said, yes, they're open source. So what they did was they just changed the design a little bit. Like they put the WordCamp logo on it and maybe translated it a little bit in their language. But now people are saying, oh, those are cool cards. And like, you know, I have a little bit of pride. I said, yes, those are cool. And we thought of them over at WordCamp Miami, but I'm even more happy to see people repurposing swag like that. And I thought the WAPU was an original great idea. And I'm glad that, Matt kind of adopted that as part of the unofficial mascot, because I'm not seeing it on
unofficial
WordPress
official stuff. It's the official term for that. Yeah. It's unofficial official.
Just think of all the pins, all the badges, all the shirts. I don't know if you ever saw the WordCamp WAPU shirt from WordCamp Miami that had the face.
Was an actual physical WAPU.
Yes, the one walking around.
WAPU became physical. I was wandering around. It was the best.
WordCamp Miami 2019. I know the people that were in that suit. It was like a walking Cheeto, but it was so worth to see a walking WAPU around. But yeah, it's just think of all the swag and like the mask, just the very thought of a mascot itself, not a logo, but a mascot, I thought really helped shape the WordPress community. It was a great community moment. So anyway, thumbs up to all those people. What's that?
Yeah, I have one to add. I think the sustainability initiative, which is a newer one, I think that's just getting started. But I think, and gathering momentum and finding out what it means. But as someone that's organized a WordCamp before and tried to do it, sustainability when we were in Brighton, I think it's really good from that app. But I also think it's really good from just the impact as a project that we leave and the technology. I think talking about like trying to be around as a project for a while, we kind of have to be aware of all those aspects. So I think that initiative deserves a kind of call out, because it crosses so many of our areas and it doesn't necessarily get as much kind of eyeballs, I think.
Yeah. Make sure to throw that in the show notes, by the way, because we've shared so much here today, and I'll include everything that you've mentioned, everything you thought of, throw it in the show notes. I'll do a array matching thing so we don't get duplicates. All right. So we've covered kind of the categories, and we covered a lot of stuff, and I'm really happy because a lot of stuff we've talked about here today has not been mentioned in depth in my other conversations. So that's fantastic. I got exactly what I wanted. But so what I wanted to do is I wanted to go around one last time and see if there's any random thoughts that appeared in your head about anything else sky's the limit in terms of any moments. You know, I was going to say good, bad, and ugly, but let's just keep it at good or bad because I don't have time to cover ugly. Me here. What have we left out here? What have we not mentioned that you think could be mentioned real briefly?
Oh, recently Michelle has created a site, WP Speakers.
Ah, yeah.
This, I see this helping the organizers with finding out speakers in their areas or nearby, you know, go and approach them. So that is one thing which just came across my mind.
Yeah, kudos to her for that initiative. She does so much, the job things on Wednesdays and all her community work, which we don't have time to go into here. That's fantastic. Yes. So speakers project. Robert, anything we haven't touched on at all briefly?
Yeah, so small thing, the time when WPCLI became a make project. Because it was a project outside and it's really like if people like, because the people who work professional with WordPress sites and like on local machines and like automating stuff, like the WPCLI becoming like a real make project with all the good and bad things around it, it was really, really good for the project and for WPCLI to simply make sure it stays around.
WPCLI, yeah. If you're a developer and you're not familiar with that, slap your face twice and get reading in the documentation. Tammy, what have we not mentioned here at all?
This is almost like project management, but I'm going to say in core, when started to have more organization core meetings and recognizing roles for release, I think that started to allow people to see where they could be part of it. And gave enough order to those meetings that someone could follow along, you know, you can follow the agenda. So those kind of things, having enough project management and so that someone could belong. So just being able to have a call. We didn't do that. We didn't have calls for releases and people being part of it and having like, hey, would you like to have these roles? And people being able to step up and have those roles. That's really important. And it's not that far. But we've had that. So I think that is really, really important for us.
Yeah. You take that stuff for granted sometimes, not realizing how
you do.
It's never been.
And it's not just like tech, it's like documentation and it's growing, right? The options that people can step up and be part of. So yeah, I think that.
And that's what some people that have come into the WordPress community in the last couple of years, they haven't known a time before that. It's kind of like.
No, and call chats used to be a lot. So it used to be a lot to be part of and try and follow and keep up with. And it would put off a lot of people. So this is incredibly welcoming. So more inclusive.
It's trying to explain what a VHS tape is to my daughter today. Yes, that there were times before digital media. So Simon, what, and one or two things briefly we may not have covered that.
Yeah,
I can see your gears turning.
No, I have something.
Stuck in your team. I'm sorry. I thought I could read people. What else? You got anything in the tank?
I would like to give a shine a light on a make team that I think has its work a bit undervalued sometimes. The accessibility team. You do like a really great job, speaking of inclusivity, in making sure that more people can use WordPress. And I think that's part of democratized publishing. So they do very, very important work.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I am always amazed at the new, it's especially so much harder now with all the more complex technologies, especially in the admin, right? And that's still a work in progress. I think all the initiatives that we're doing today, you know, moving forward, I want to see more attention to them, because a lot of accessibility needs that kind of attention, and just like performance or anything else, and so many times accessibility is not a first brain thought type of a thing. So I really think that deserves a real good shout out. As far as I'm concerned, I've got three random things left. We've talked about acquisitions in the previous shows, but I always thought the Tumblr acquisition really stood out to me in terms of a potential that it has for WordPress moving forward that isn't WordPress. Gutenberg is supposed to transcend WordPress, maybe. Maybe that's Matt made that comment a couple of times. So it's interesting to see where that might go. P2, speaking of things that, like somebody just said, does he need to use the restroom? No, the letter P in 2 is, if you don't know what that is, Google it. But when Tammy said something about the structure of back-end WordPress organization, it is a blog that Matt actually talked about this a number of times, and I think they have a new version called O2. I'm not sure if that's out yet in terms of a plugin or a theme you can download. I think I can't remember. All I remember is it was more cutting edge, but we used to.
It's a hosted version on WordPress.com.
Yes, the hosted version. So it's
a SaaS version.
It's like halfway. It was halfway. Like you can't get it, but you can get it because it's hosted this place. So if you don't know what those are, just go ahead and Google them. But P2 was fundamental to the organization of a lot of WordPress stuff, even as it exists today. So like as early as last year, I remember like WordCamps having a P2 doc with people organizing, writing notes in there. And Matt was always a big, big fan of P2 in terms of like, you know, because it's basically more or less a blog for teams, right? A big, big, big use at Automattic, and I'm pretty sure it still does. And finally, I have elevator advertising at WordCamps, and we'll just leave it at that. So thank you very much, everybody. Mission here wasn't to cover everything. That's impossible. But I wanted to cover things from your brains because all you I respect and are unique. And you brought the game today. Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it. So let's go around and then let's say we're people. I was going to say do your closing remarks, but this isn't a talk. Where can people find you on social if they want to follow you? Because these days, who knows? It's social, blog, whatever you want to share. Mihir, you go first.
Oh, I'm on Twitter, Mihir Bala. I'm on LinkedIn and my website, mihirbala.com.
Yes. And we'll also put these in the show notes too, so I don't have to worry about spelling everything out because I can't spell. It was very nice to have you. Robert, go ahead. I was going to say, where can we buy that hat? But I don't think that exists anymore.
That's very, like with pins or without. So it's Nullbytes on Twitter, and otherwise it's Nullbyte on the WordPress profile.
Thank you very much, Robert. It's good to see you in the hat again. And if you ever want to sneak into a WordCamp, just don't wear the hat and people won't recognize you. Tammy, where can we find you?
You can find me at Carmatosed on all the things.
Yes, pretty much. Still, we'll just put show notes, just that, and people will find you again. You also have have you started a new blog recently too? Or
have now NetSlab.
Include that in show notes as well, because I've been reading. I'd be ashamed to admit, I don't know when you started it, but I've been picking up the last couple of posts. So they've been very insightful.
It's only been a couple of weeks.
Thank God. I put myself out there and it worked. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just starting to write just generally about where could WordPress go in the now and the next.
Yeah. Okay. I'll throw that in the show notes as well.
Some thoughts. Yeah.
Well, you've always had some good thoughts. So I think it's worth sharing. Simon, where can people be finding you?
I think the easiest is simon.blog.
Seriously?
I blog these days. Yeah, yeah. I was an early adopter.
You don't have to rub it in, but okay.
And I think I'll link to basically all the other things from there. So I won't try and spell out my Mastodon username and domain thingy. So.
Please don't, because it sets off my Amazon Echo for some reason when you start saying Mastodon things. Nope, we're good. All right, we're fine. Yes, simon.blog. Wow. And you've got an English translation too. Oh, that's great. Less crappy Twitter embeds, please. Ooh, I'd like to read that one. All right, so simon.blog for you. So just if you're hearing this and you want to follow me, best place to go would be either davidbissett.com or davidbissett.social. Big thank you all for coming. Your time is precious. Greatly appreciated. And we will talk later.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back.
Thank you.